Hello, and welcome to Carlson and Chill. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Courtney.
And today is the day that we are going to talk to you.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We will rejoice. I guess we will.
Yeah.
So, we're off to a bit of a rocky start today. We are trying out our new audio setup. We have our two microphones. We have our two arms. We're sitting on our couch.
Yes.
We are comfy, and we hope to the Lord Jesus that this sounds good.
It's gonna be great.
If it doesn't sound exactly like it did before, I apologize for that in advance. Just trying out new things, but I'm excited for these new mics.
Me too. I get to finally use my hot pink microphone.
So Courtney's on her hot pink mic.
Woo!
And I'm on mine, but they're on their mic arms, and they're connected to our TV tables.
But we're comfy. That's all that matters. But we are
comfy. Yes. It's all about that comf. Speaking of comf, I'm on vacation.
He's on vacation.
So, what have we been up to?
We did a lot this week.
Yeah, we certainly did. How about we start out with our Old Navy pool?
Ooh.
So, last week, Courtney and I found out that Old Navy was having a sale. And how did we find this out?
Because we went to... How did we find it out?
We wanted to go to Trader Joe's, shouting out Trader Joe's, and we wanted to find some new clothes for me, and so I said, let's go to Old Navy first, because we're probably not going to find anything, and then what do we see when we walk up to the doors?
Half off of everything.
Everything is 50% off, not including clearance, which is already dirt cheap.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, great. Courtney's going to find everything she wants, and I'm going to find nothing.
And guess what?
Courtney found everything she wanted.
I got a whole new wardrobe.
Courtney, there were so many good clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they all looked so good. They're so cute.
And I got an old pair of pajama flannels and a sleepy shirt and a t-shirt. But that was it. Courtney, she got jumpsuits. She got dresses. She got cute shirts.
Pants. Oh, man. My pants are so cool.
And so I was severely disappointed, but Courtney got all the good stuff.
But then I told him, I said, well, if it's online, you should go look online. So he was able to go online and look at some stuff.
Yes. And so I went online and I looked at what they had available on there. And the most difficult thing for me is they don't, in the store, they don't have a lot of favor towards big boy sizes. And they do have good plus size for girls, but not for guys. Guys goes up to 2X and then it cuts off. And your boy right here needs that 4X.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
But every now and then, I think they get returns from online orders. And there will be like a whole bunch of big boy clothes. And that's like my heyday.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't have that last time.
He's got some cool shirts there.
So we got, or I ordered a bunch of really, really cool shirts and a couple jackets that were on clearance. And everything I found was awesome.
He's got new drip.
I got that new Old Navy drip.
It looks really good.
We ended up spending a lot more than we needed to at Old Navy. We are not sponsored by Old Navy, but Old Navy, if you do want to sponsor us, we will.
So we're not going to say their name. We're going to say Schmold Schmavy.
We're going to say the ancient... Well,
no, that's too much.
Okay, too much.
And then we spent a lot of money at Old Navy, and then we spent a lot of money at Trader Joe's.
Yes, we did. What were some highlights? All right, Trader Joe's segment. Trader Joe's. This is where we spend our doughs. So what was our pull from Trader Joe's? What did we get? The highlights.
I got some bacon and egg gummies. Oh, bacon and egg gummies. Good. They were like raspberry flavored, but they were good.
Disappointed that they were not bacon flavored, but that's okay.
Ew, that would have been gross.
I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah, got that. Oh, and then I got these little baby grapes called candy snap grapes.
Those did look good.
They were like a cross between a cotton candy grape and a strawberry flavor. It was really good.
Yeah.
They were great.
They had pickle popcorn available. Ooh, Courtney, yes. And I love pickle popcorn.
I ate some last night.
So we got that. Were there any other standout?
Oh, and the pizza crackers.
Pizza crackers.
They're like the size of my hand. They're big crackers that look like a pizza.
Yeah, those are big. Those are big crackers.
They were big boys. They tasted good.
Anything else from Trader Joe's?
Mm, I think those are all the seasonal things we got.
Yeah. And then we tried going to Marshall's, and Marshall's had absolutely nothing. So we walked right back out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marshall's.
We did buy a blanket at Five Below. We went to like a strip mall. We bought a blanket at Five Below for Marley, and the cat likes it better than Marley does.
As usual, we try to get dog beds for Marley, and the cat loves them more than Marley does, and the cat pees on them every time.
So we can't get her bed
anymore. Every time. We can't get her a bed anymore because the cat pees on it.
She thinks it's a litter box for some reason.
Why are our animals so special?
They're special. They can't help it, Dad.
Yes, they can.
We also played D&D this week.
Yeah, we had a little D&D mini sesh. It was, when was it, Thursday night? Yeah, it was Thursday.
I think so.
So, what did we do in our little D&D session?
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. All I remember is the riddle.
There was someone who spoke to you and froze you to, froze you solid.
Yeah, we went to this guy's house. Well, first, this guy was on the road.
It was a little, what was the race, the species? It was a little crow person. Guy. Yeah.
And a start with the K, a cockatoo, a cantaloupe, a cuckoo, a cuckoo.
Oh, a cuckoo.
I'm close. What is it called?
All right.
I'm gonna be
Kenku.
I knew it. I was close.
You said cuckoo.
That sounds dirty.
It does. It's a Kenku. It's a little crow person.
He's kind of scary.
He couldn't reach his top shelf to get his stuff.
He bought a new house, and he couldn't reach his stuff on the top shelf. So he said, can you guys help us? And we said, that's kind of weird. And then turns out he was kind of mean, and we broke his window.
Because we thought that we got locked in, and no one tried the door, so they smashed the window. And he's like, hey, what are you doing?
No, we tried the door, but it locked from the inside out.
No, it was never locked. We never tried opening the door.
I thought we did. Okay, anyways, so we smashed his window to go out, and he was upset. And turns out he was looking for treasure, and I tried to give him a map.
You tried to get him off our tail.
There was a lot of stuff going on. And then we went to a tavern.
We were trying to tail some bandits. I went with one character, and we were trying to follow them. And then Courtney and another character stayed behind, and someone spoke to you. And they, you were just frozen in your seat.
I was so scared. And then finally I was able to move. And I was rolling really bad rolls.
And then we went to where the bandits were hiding. And they went inside some sort of door. And the rest of our session was trying to figure out how to open this door. Mm-hmm. It had a riddle tied to it. And there was four elements, and we spent the rest of the session trying to open it, and we were apparently really close.
Yeah, I checked out halfway through it, and
it was really late for us.
I had to go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom. We came back way later, and I was like, you guys are still trying to solve this? And Andrew said, yeah. I said, all right, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So we never solved the riddle.
So we're stuck at the door.
And then we also had a date craft night.
We did have a date night, another popsicle stick date.
It was super fun. So it was arts and crafts. So we decided to go to Hobby Lobby, and we got some cool wooden like things to paint. I got this book that opens.
Yeah, I wanted to paint on wood.
Yeah, and Andrew got a sign.
I got a sign, and we also found a box that holds vinyl records.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
And so that night, we just spent some time painting our crafts. And I didn't get to the vinyl box because I wanted to coat it before I painted it to make it look as good as it can.
We started it at like 9 o'clock at night too.
Yeah, we got to it pretty late.
But anyways, that was super fun.
Yeah.
Other than that, are you ready to get into it?
Other than that, I think it's time to get into it.
Let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about the second part of the spiritual gifts. And there's probably going to be more parts because we're going to go pretty in depth today on some of them.
A little bit more in depth than last time, Googling what spiritual gifts there are and then getting three of the same thing.
Yeah. So
we apologize for that.
We apologize for that. Andrew, do you want to read the verse that lists the spiritual gifts in it?
Sure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Amen and hallelujah. Going through those, there are 22 gifts.
22.
They're not all listed in this passage, but they are listed throughout the Bible. And those 22 main gifts are administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, word of knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, pastored shepherding, prophecy, service, teaching, tongues, and interpretation, word of wisdom.
See, I was close whenever you were quizzing me. I had almost all of them right.
You were naming the fruits of the Spirit, though.
I cut out most of that, but my guesses were all fruits of the Spirit, and Courtney called me out on it, and I felt like a Dumbo.
No lie, we started three times, and every time he was listing fruits of the Spirit.
It's because those are ingrained in my brain.
I said, yes, we know. We know those are fruits of the Spirit, which they go hand in hand.
They do.
But...
different. So what is the difference between a fruit of the Spirit and a gift of the Spirit?
So when you show fruits of the Spirit, it's from living in Jesus, your faith. So you're going to show patience. You're going to show kindness. You're going to show faithfulness. And then gifts of the Spirit are when you accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit has now come and he lives in you. He gives you a gift to help further the kingdom.
A gift or gifts, plural?
Gifts. Ooh. It could be one. It could be many. It could be all of them.
It could.
How were my answers, Andrew?
Those are good answers.
Thanks.
What spiritual gifts are we going to focus on today?
So today we're going to be talking about craftsmanship.
Craftsmanship.
Discernment and administration.
Okay.
Bum, bum, bum.
Do you want to start with craftsmanship?
Yes. So this was actually one of my gifts when I took the spiritual gifts test.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the spiritual gift tests, I think most of the tests I were explaining in that last episode were all personality tests.
Way to go, Andrew.
And not spiritual gift. So I want...
Andrew was mixing up a lot of things.
I had so many jumps. I was so confident, though. My brain was so jumbled up. But yeah, the disc test and the animals, those were all personality. Those had nothing to do with spiritual gifts.
He tried.
I tried real hard.
He wanted to be included.
And I didn't even go into detail about our spiritual gift test at all. We skipped that entirely.
Idiot. So the first one is craftsmanship. And the gift of craftsmanship is the divine strength or ability to plan, build, and work with your hands in construction environments to accomplish multiple ministry applications.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it can be like if your church is putting on a play, you could be like building sets.
Yeah.
If the church needs work, like if something's falling apart or needs help with something, you can do that. Service projects. It's a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that needs to be done in order to get the main goal of what you're doing done.
Yeah. Shout out to those with the craftsmanship, that gift. You are so very needed.
You are needed. And I feel like those people don't get enough shout out.
I mean, everyone sees the fruits of their labor, but do they get like any credit or acknowledgement of their work?
No.
No, they don't.
Just kidding. Not all the time. We can't say no in general, but yeah.
Even the past couple months, we've seen all of our different friends in their churches putting together their sets for VBS.
Oh, yes.
And like our VBS that we set up was disco themed. Mm-hmm. And so we had a lot of like 80s memorabilia and neon tie dye.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. And some of our friends did like jungle themes or scuba themes.
Yeah, the theme, like the new curriculum for this year was like under the water. It was like a sea theme.
You could say it was under the sea.
Under the sea.
Copyright.
Oh, sorry. Can't Dang it. But yeah, some churches go all out for VBS.
Yeah, they do.
And I know those workers get tired that week. So yeah, all those sets effort. And stuff. Yeah, craftsmanship.
Growing up, we had our big Christmas play that we put on every year. Mm-hmm. And the set that was built for that.
Oh, yeah, it was epic.
All the intricacies of like lowering walls, sliding walls, and all the props that needed to be put together for mm-hmm. it was so detailed.
It was crazy.
Crazy, yeah, crazy detail.
Yeah.
And eventually it became like a system of everyone knew like where the parts were going. And so it made it easier in subsequent years for that setup. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure most of it revolved around one guy and he did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
His wife was like a super cake decorator and she made super fancy cakes.
That's awesome.
So could you also say that is craftsmanship?
Yeah. I think you can use any skill you have to further God's kingdom.
Yeah. She was like a master cake decorator and she made all the most amazing decorated cakes.
That's really cool. I want to do that.
And he did the most decorative sets.
So they were very creative together.
Yes, they were.
Sounds like a good pair. So Andrew listed a couple questions our last podcast that we kind of wanted to go through with these different gifts and answer.
Yes.
So what was the first question?
The first question is, how do you personally define craftsmanship?
And I think I already said that.
You did.
Do you have a different answer?
Craftsmanship is the works that we put together to build a foundation of what we teach and preach off of. So whether we're doing it for a play or someone's making a cake, it's something that has to get made, like physically made with creativity and work in your hands.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so now that we've listed our personal definitions, how does the Bible define craftsmanship?
Yeah, so I have a verse. It's from Exodus 31:3, and it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft." And that is 31:3-5.
Okay.
What's yours, Andrew?
The one I have is from Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. It says, "There he being Paul, became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was." So they built tents. Got to have somewhere to go.
They did a lot of traveling.
Yeah. So building the tents, they were able to make their ministry portable.
Mm-hmm. The next question is there an individual that can point out that has this gift?
I guess I've already pointed out my two.
Yeah, Andrew already pointed that out. I know this was one of mine. Yeah, there is a guy at our church who, he is on staff, but he does a lot of repairs and painting and like 100% helps with anything that needs to be done. And I think he is a really good example of this.
Yeah, all those church janitors and repairmen, shout out to you guys.
Yeah, you rock.
I mean, what are we going to do if our toilets overflow?
Oh my gosh, run away.
People be pooping.
People be pooping.
Can you write that on my gravestone when I die?
Yeah, Andrew be pooping. That's how it's gonna be. Ain't that the truth? Andrew, how can we live out this gift?
So how can we live out this gift? I would say find ways to get involved with putting things together at church, whether it's for VBS or sometimes there's small groups that go out and they help people with repairs, and it's like usually it's a men's group where it's like the honeydoers, where they find people that need things done and maybe they live on their own and don't have anyone nearby that can help them. And getting plugged in with a ministry like that, whether it's just small repairs or even like lawn care and getting like limbs picked up.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I said it first.
Yeah, I think just being willing and open too, like... being willing, if someone comes up to you at church and be like, oh, we really need, you know, those times you have special events and are like, hey, we need so many people to stay afterwards and move chairs. Be willing to do the behind the scenes work and get things done that need to be done.
Hey, maybe you have an idea for putting something together, like a banner or like a prop or just something to something that you can build that can be used in the church.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say that this gift ranks in you in your life?
10.
So you're a 10 craftsmanship.
No, I would say probably like a 7 or 8. I'm a 7 or 8.
You are a 7 or 8 craftsmanship.
I think so.
I think I would fall more towards the middle, probably closer to a 4. I don't really find myself being the one to build all the things, but I like coming up with the ideas for things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm. I like using the creative side of it. Now, can I build like giant things? No, but I'm willing to learn how to do that kind of stuff. And I think that's half of it.
Yeah. The last question that we have for this gift is, how can craftsmanship be improved?
I think we kind of touched on that too. I think just being willing to be that person and be there if someone needs help, just say, hey, yeah, I don't know how to do that, but I can try to help.
I think the one way that craftsmanship can be improved is being willing and able to teach someone how to do these things as well. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people don't know how to build certain things or use certain tools. So we need to have those people willing to show someone how to build as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of times all that building and craftsmanship falls on a single person, and then they can get overwhelmed because they're the ones that are building everything. So if we have too many people on the creative side and not on the building side, we need to be able and ready to teach those people how to build as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so being open to learn and to teach.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
So craftsmanship. What's that one brand of tool? Is it just Craftsman?
I think so.
What's that one brand, Craftsman tools?
What's that one tool?
What's your favorite tool?
Hammer. And I smash it with the hammer.
I do love a good hammer. Do you like the claw hammer or the mallet or the rubber mallet? I love rubber mallets.
I didn't know there was a difference between hammers.
Rubber mallets. Oh, yeah, there's tons of hammers. I will say I love a good socket wrench. I love a drill.
That's what she said.
My dad got me a drill for Christmas, and I love it. I can drill.
Oh, yeah, he got all of us drills.
I can drill all the things.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't have to borrow my dad's anymore. So the next spiritual gift that we are going to be talking about today is discernment.
What's discernment, you might ask?
I'm asking.
The gift of discernment is the divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations.
Ooh.
So that's a deep one.
That go deep. That is the definition of discernment. But Courtney, how do you personally define discernment?
I would say, for me, discernment would be the ability to tell what teaching is right and wrong. Like, you hear either a pastor or a friend who is talking about what they believe in, or, you know, they're even talking in passing like, well, the Bible says this. I think it's the Spirit gives you, yes, this is truth, or no, that's not truth. You need to get away from that. What about you, Andrew?
I would say for me, if I could simplify it, it's the ability to tell what is from God and what is not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. I don't know why my brain is so bad with words.
I think you might be overthinking it.
I think I am overthinking it.
I know in your definition, you said a lot of like something that your friend or another person may say. And I think that's really what it revolves around, is what this person's saying from God. Because a lot of people can use that as not really an excuse, but like their reasoning for their decisions. And saying, yeah, this is what God told me. And then discernment would be like, that doesn't sound like it's from God. So how can we tell if something is from God or not?
I think by doing your research, studying the Bible, because that's God's word.
the Bible lists the things that are from God are things that encourage one another, that they build up the church, that they're founded in love and grace and mercy. If someone is saying that something that they heard from God had nothing to do with those, that's usually a sign to me that I don't know if that was God or not.
Yeah.
So how does the Bible define discernment? In the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, talk about discerning false prophets. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception.
That's good.
I mean, that's it right there.
Sums it all up. Yeah. And then I was just going to say, pointing back to 1 Corinthians 12:10, you know, it says to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. So it's listed in that group of verses of what the Spirit gives.
Yeah, 1 John really hit it on the head.
Yeah. Is there an individual that you can point out that has this gift, Andrew?
I do indeed. I would say I know a person in my life who has this spiritual gift would be my father.
Okay.
My father has mentioned several stories where he was either participating at an event at church or someone was speaking to him and he knew that's not from God.
Mm.
Their intentions might have been that it was from God, but he knew deep down that it was not.
Yeah. I mean, that's an important gift to have.
It is. Yeah, my dad would be one I know who has this spiritual gift.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think mine would be, she actually went to the church that Andrew and I met at originally. She'd passed away a couple years ago from cancer, but I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Our good friend's mom. She was just on fire for the Lord. And I mean, just going through this list of gifts, I think she had each and every one. Like,
yes, she did.
She was just an amazing person of God. She loved Jesus like no other.
Shout out to Miss Brenda. We love you. You're partying with Jesus.
Yes.
We miss you.
Yes.
You were amazing.
But I just, like, she instantly popped into my head when I thought about this.
Yeah, because spot on.
I think not only did she have that discernment, but she knew how to handle those situations very well.
Yes.
And she knew how to care for people even when they didn't know how to care for themselves.
She was awesome.
Incredible.
Awesome, incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Miss Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
You personally, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does this gift rank for you?
I would say I'd probably give it a 5, like right in the middle. I would say I think I'm deep enough in my walk with Jesus that I can, like, sense those kind of things, if it's, like, from God or not. But also, I feel like sometimes I let my, like, fear or anxiety cloud my judgment of things. And I think that can sometimes get in the way of that.
And it could also be we always want to see the best in people. If someone comes to you and says that this is what God is saying to them, or this is what they teach and believe, and you know that it's not, you want to see the best in people.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm always scared of hurting other people's feelings.
Hurting other people's?
Which, I mean, at that point, it shouldn't matter. But I would say I'm probably around like a 4 or 5 with that.
4 or 5? I would probably lean closer to a 6. Mm-hmm. I feel like in my life I've had several moments where I was hearing someone or a part of something and something just felt off. And it's usually that off feeling that you feel like discerning something is not from God, more so than discerning when something is, because it's really easy to see when it is from God. It's harder to see when it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
At least for me. But I would say even earlier this year, there was something that Courtney and I went to, and it just felt off.
Yeah.
I don't even think the intention was that it wasn't from God, but it just, something was off, and I could feel it.
For sure.
And Courtney and I talked about it. Yeah, I would say a 6. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a gift I want to improve upon. So how can this gift be improved?
I think for me personally, how it can be improved for me is just spending more time in the Word. I feel like sometimes I let that time excuse get in the way. And so I'm like, oh, I don't have time. But, you know, I have time to read 6 hours of my normal book. So I think for me, it's just really setting aside a time to be still and to be quiet and really leaning into what God is saying through His Word. That's for me personally.
That's Courtney, how you
do it.
That's how you know it's from God, is it?
Yeah.
It aligns with the Word.
Yeah.
And that's the truth that we need to have our foundation built on. So,
and I think praying about it too, like asking Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, show me what's actually from you and what's from not, especially if you're struggling with something personal or something that someone said to you. I think you should really like go into prayer about that.
It's also pretty easy as well. If you ever want to look up things that are not from God, look up these cult leaders and mm-hmm. what they believed and what they implemented through their teaching. And you can clearly, very obviously see that that is not from God.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you need like a surefire, that's not from God, just look up cult leaders and different cults. And
but trigger warning for that, because some of that stuff might be.
Oh, yeah.
A little intense. I think where it starts to get muddled is when you're like teaching or like people will pull things from the Bible, but then they'll add in just one word that changes it, yeah. You know?
Or pull it out of context. Yes. That's a huge, yeah. Huge contender for discernment is people can quote verses, but if they're using the wrong context or something that doesn't encourage someone else, mm-hmm. It's used to answer their point and where they stand.
Yeah.
Usually misquoting scripture.
Those people who just want to debate about it.
Yes. So pulling context from scripture is something that I've seen done a lot too.
Yeah.
You can use scripture to solidify your standpoint, but if you're using it in the wrong context, then it's not correct. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful with that too.
Yeah, very true. I feel like your faith can go as deep as you want it to. And I think discernment comes with that.
Yeah. How can we live out discernment?
How can we live it out? I think for me, it's just knowing the Word. I think it's knowing and trusting in who God is, not depending on others. You know, if they bring up a point or if they're like this, this, and this, then I think going back to scripture and referencing it is really a big.
Can I rephrase point. This question?
Yeah, sure.
So if you were in a situation where you felt like you were discerning that something wasn't from God and it was being discerned from someone you know, how do you approach that individual in your discernment?
I think I would ask them where they got that from, if they could show me in scripture where it was from. And then if we couldn't come to an agreement on something, I would just say, okay, well, right now, let's just agree to disagree. You know, do it in a kind manner and say, hey, maybe we can come back to this topic once we both, you know, learn a little bit more about it. And then at that point, if I'm really unsure about it or if it's really bothering me, I think I would go to someone above me. Like I would go to a pastor or a small group leader or someone who I knew could help me like figure that out.
Yeah, I think that's a practical application for this one is, you know, how do we live it out? Well, what if we were in that scenario? How would we confront this person? How would we address it? I know a lot of times I've discerned something and I haven't really said or done anything about it. I've kept it to myself. And that nothing improves from that, especially if you know or you feel in your spirit that that wasn't from the spirit. How do we talk about it?
Yeah. You know, a lot of this is convicting me that I need to step out of my comfort zone.
I'm not saying it as a conviction, but it's something that we should be practicing.
For sure. And I think talking about this is a way to strengthen it. Because if you don't talk about it, then nothing changes. And that's for most things in life. Okay, Andrew, let's go on to administration. So this will be our last one for today. Just to kind of wrap it up.
Just to wrap things up.
We know it's a little heavy, but it's important to talk about.
We got 22 to get through. We got time.
That's right. We got time. Hey, we can sprinkle in some fun ones in between these so they're not all so heavy.
Ooh, fun gifts. Ooh. I like fun gifts.
Andrew.
What?
Administration.
What about it?
What's that all about?
What is it? The gift of administration is the divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish said tasks.
You know, when I think of administration, I always thought of like a principal of a school.
I think of Michael Scott.
And I don't know why. Michael Scott.
Yeah, he's an administrator.
Oh my gosh.
He's the boss.
You know me. Always be pooped.
We all know. We all love administrators. We know the good ones. We know the bad ones. Courtney, how do you personally define administration?
I would say this is a person who has a type A personality, someone who's very good at planning, organizing, setting a schedule, setting itineraries, doing, again, I think a little more of the behind the scenes stuff, but stuff to keep people organized and have things running smoothly.
I would say that's the key is, and it all working together.
Yes.
Because there can be people who can do all those things, but do they work?
Yeah.
That's the key.
And do they have the like authoritativeness to be like, hey, do what you need to do? I know several people with this gift.
Are they all type A personalities?
Heck yeah. One would be my sister. I think my sister is very good at this. And I think sometimes she's like, no, I could be better. But I think she's very good at setting schedules. She has such a busy schedule, but she's very good at juggling them. And when it comes to putting important things first, she knows how to do that. So even though it might drive her crazy, I think she's very good at it. Also, another person that comes to mind is our secretary at our church. Is that her role?
Yeah.
She is great at this. She is always everywhere at one time. She's like Jesus. I don't know how she does it.
She is omnipresent.
No matter where you go, she's there.
You turn your head and she's like pushing a cart or greeting someone.
She's running. I mean, literally everything I've ever been to at the church, she's there like handling it. She's got it.
She got it.
So those are the two people that pop into my mind.
All right, well, I haven't had a chance to say anything at all, and you've answered, like, 5 questions.
I only answered the one.
No, you didn't.
Sorry, I answered 2. Okay. So how do you personally define this gift, Andrew, and who do you know in your life has this gift?
I would personally define administration as the leader who keeps everything running, the one who sets the goals and the mission and helps people follow through.
That's good.
We can all set the goals and the missions, but they should be the forerunner for helping everyone accomplish what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Who comes to your mind when you think about administration?
I would say the lead pastor at our old church would definitely be an administrator. The senior pastors, they got a lot on their plates. And for one who was the senior pastor for over 30 years, had a system, and there might have been some things that not everyone agreed with, but when it came to running a smooth operation, he had it down.
He had it together.
He had that schedule. He had the mission. He had a team.
Yeah.
I think that's another key with administrating is you gotta organize a team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do it all on your own.
No.
If an administrator did have to do everything on their own, it wouldn't be done well.
Delegation.
It's delegation and...
anticipation.
Not really anticipation.
Interaction.
You're just saying words now. And I don't really appreciate that.
Sorry.
So yeah, senior pastors. And I know we have like administrators where we work. I know you and I know we have some disagreements with some of their administration, but there's a difference between work administration and church administration.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Sure.
So how does the Bible define administration?
How does it define it, Andrew?
How does it define it? Why don't we look at Acts chapter 6?
Let's flip in our Bibles. That's a page turning.
That's a page turner. Okay. So Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, say this. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about how the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So we have those Karens.
Yep, sure do.
So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Pumbaa, Nicholas, Parmesan, Nicholas of Antioch, and earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me, too, of when all the people were going to Moses, complaining about everything, and Moses is like, I can't handle all of this. So then he delegated to, like, certain issues go to certain people. That reminds me of.
So the apostles were like, hey, we need someone to help us organize all these requests. And so they chose those who could practice administration, had that gift.
Yeah, for sure.
Stephen, R.I.P., we know that Saul, he didn't mean it deep down. Well, he did, but then Jesus told him to stop. R.I.P.
Paul killed him? Saul killed him?
His name is Stephen.
I didn't know that.
That's Stephen.
Oh my gosh, Stephen!
He was a man full of faith, though.
He was, so he's with Jesus.
Immediately, the next section is Stephen is arrested.
That's not funny.
Oh, it's not.
Okay, next. So that's how the Bible defines it.
That is how the Bible defines
it. We talked about individuals. Andrew, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does this gift rank for you in your life?
I'll be honest, I'm not super administrative. I do need to improve this gift. I am more of a... Once someone gives me the list of things to do, then I can delegate what needs to be done, but...
Yeah, whenever we have chores that need to be done, Andrew wants me to tell him what needs to be done.
Not all the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. So I would rank this pretty low. I would say a 3 or a 2.
Yeah, I was going to go more towards the middle again, like a 4 or 5 for me. Because I feel like I can be organized, but also I got to touch the ADD. So then, like, I'm organized, but then my brain instantly shuts down and goes, I can't do all this.
Yep. You load her with more than 3 requests at one time and she shuts down.
I'm shutting down and I'm doing nothing but taking a nap for the day.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. How can we live out this gift?
Tell people what to do.
Yeah, do it now.
Get this done.
Now or else.
Or else. No, I would say when it comes to living out this gift, I would just say it's all about organization. Seeing the things that need to be done and not just like knowing what needs to be done, but actually finding a way to get them done.
Yeah.
Administration would be knowing what needs to be done and letting people know, you know, what you're thinking and clearly communicating it.
Yeah. And I think even if this isn't a strong suit for you, then maybe telling yourself, you know, are you willing to be open to someone who's strong in this area and go to them, and if they need help with something or if they say, hey, I think you'd be good at this, are you willing to do it? You know, so I think just being, again, with this one, being open.
So how can this gift be improved?
Oh, man. Focus for me. I think the way I can work on this is not overloading myself. I think I can make a schedule. And I think for me, it's just to keep on schedule, to not be like, oh, well, I'll just do this later. I think for me, it's like, no, do it now. You know, don't put it off.
I can see this in one of two ways. How can this gift be improved, like, personally, like, the organization in your day-to-day? And for that, I would say find things that help you get organized, whether it's having a calendar, writing things down, setting goals for yourself each day and meeting those goals, and sticking to, like, a schedule or routine that helps you with those things. Mm-hmm. Making good habits. Ooh. And they can start now.
That's a good one.
And then I would say, how can this gift be improved where you serve or where you're leading, whether it's at work or at your church? So you might not be the one in charge, but maybe you can learn alongside the one who is and see how they take care of things. You don't want to be super critical, but you do want to, if something's not working, it has to be said.
Right.
Maybe saying, is there any way that we can improve this area and what can I do to help?
Yeah, exactly. That's super good.
So even if you're not super administrative, help the ones that are.
Just do it.
Just do it. Well, that's pretty much it for what we're running out of time to talk about today. So what are the three that we talked about?
We talked about craftsmanship.
Discernment.
And administration.
And administration.
Adminonymy.
Anonymy. The enemy is the inner me.
Hey guys, we just want to take a second to tell you thanks for listening today.
We appreciate you so much.
You're awesome sauce. Has anyone told you that today?
No.
Well, you are.
Really?
If you think we're awesome sauce,
you should like and comment and subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening to us on.
That can be YouTube,
Spotify,
Apple Podcast,
iHeartRadio,
Pandora.
Anything with an RSS feed, we're on it.
That's right. And we can't wait to do more of this with you.
Yes. We will say in advance, we'll probably miss recording next week because I will be out of town.
And I don't want to do it by myself.
That will be a very boring podcast. Just kidding. Courtney's amazing. And you're amazing.
Back to the episode.
So, Courtney, do you have any recommendations for this week?
Heck yeah, I do, Andrew. So, my book... I know what you're saying to yourself, man, Courtney. You're reading a lot of books. And heck yes, I am. Because I have a goal to read 50 books by the end of the year. And I was slacking for a very long time. So now
you got stuck on them big books.
I did. I was reading like 800 page books. And so it took me a while to get through them. So
she's got to switch to Arthur or Clifford to something to speed up that.
I have cheated a little bit. And I've read a couple books that are like 100, 150 pages. They're like smaller books.
There's nothing wrong with those.
No, they're still good. But now I've been listening to, and I actually like this. I thought it would confuse me, but I've been like listening to a book whenever I'm on a drive, like doing an audiobook, whenever I'm doing chores or driving. And then whenever I have some time, I read a physical book. But right now I'm listening to the book, The Lost Bookshop by Evie Woods. It's very good. Like super good. It's giving me The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue vibes, the way it's written. If you liked that book, you'll love this book.
I know exactly what Addie LaRue is.
Do you?
No.
Oh, dang it. Anyways, it's another book. It's very good. So that's my recommendation for the week. Go read it. Go listen to it. The narration in it is actually very good on the audiobook. You can get it on Hoopla for free through the library. So do it.
Do it or else.
Andrew, what about you?
So I had a hard time pulling a recommendation for me because didn't really experience a whole lot. I'm playing through Skyrim again, and it's not a great game, but it's like a comfort food for me.
I said, do you want to recommend that? He said, heck no, I don't. I said, gosh, okay.
I
said,
I don't. It's not good, and I've spent way too much money on it. I was telling Courtney, I think I've bought the game 7 times.
That's ridiculous.
And I did not need to.
No.
It's so unnecessary, and there are so many better games out there, but... something that I can just relax with and just explore. But I don't recommend Skyrim. I don't. What I do recommend is I do recommend Old Navy.
Old Navy.
So out of all the cool clothes that I ordered from Old Navy, there's a sweater that I got on clearance that is the softest sweater I've ever felt in my life.
And I already told Andrew that that sweater is going to be mine, not
no,
his.
No, it's not. It's my sweater. I want it. It's mine.
It's so soft.
It's the softest sweater I've ever felt, and I want to wear it all the time. It just stinks because we're in super hot weather all the time, and I won't have much of an opportunity to wear it. But when it drops below 70, I will wear it.
Heck yeah, I will wear it.
So before we hop off from this episode, I do want to announce that next week we'll probably not be recording an episode. The next one might be 2 weeks down the road. Because tomorrow, Courtney and I will be flying to Indiana.
We're traveling.
I'm having a vacation and Courtney is coming with me.
I'm having a vacation weekend.
And I feel like next time we record, we're going to have some big announcements to make.
So listen up, party people.
So Courtney and I have been praying for opportunities and open doors. And I think...
Since January.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that after this little vacation, we'll have something really exciting to share with everyone.
Yeah, God is working in big ways, that's for sure.
And we're so excited to be able to share it, and we're just waiting for that confirmation.
Yeah.
So, until then, we will keep you guys in the loop for all that goes on.
Yes, we will. Pinky promise.
We pinky promise. So, all right, Courtney, leave us off with something meaningful.
Don't you know you're beautiful?
Nailed it.
You said come up on top of my head. That's what was on top of my head.
Baby, you light up my world.
Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. The way you smile and something and I cannot tell. Whoa! Don't you know you're beautiful? Copyright.
Trademark.
TM.
Administration. The gift of... The gift of the...
Please put this at the end.
No.